You are listening to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM in the Brighton area and RadioReverb.com online. Welcome to the UK's only radio show about HIV and living a healthy life. It's the HIV Hour. You can contact us at hiv@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Instagram, hiv_hour. If you miss the show on a Thursday at 7 p.m, then you can listen again at 4 p.m. on a Monday and Tuesday at noon, or indeed catch up with an older show by going to the Listen Again page on RadioReverb.com.
Hi guys, how are you doing?
Hey.
Hi, how are you?
All right, I'm not too bad. Good to
see
you.
Well, we're all banshing, aren't we? Yes.
Good to see you, virtually.
Yes.
What have you been up to then?
And it's September. And it's September already.
I know. Yes. It's soon going to be Christmas.
Oh,
I
had Stop it.
I had a thing on my phone beep up. It's like only, it was 100 and something days to Christmas. I'm like, yeah, thank God. I've saved up Christmas already. It's already sorted.
We'll start the Christmas tune. We'll start the Christmas tunes then.
Oh, shall we not?
Do it.
We want listeners to tune in, guys. We don't want them to get depressed.
Yes, and tune out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What have you been up to, Sue?
I've been busy with work. Busy with lots of things going on with my work, and I've been. And what about yourself?
I'm just doing the work with Radio Reverb. Just as things come up, just deal with what comes up and learning all the time, actually.
Yeah.
So it's a great job, interesting job, and I'm doing a bit of painting at home.
Oh, nice.
Occasionally.
Are you good with a paintbrush, Josh?
I'm all right. I think when I get going with it, I'm all right. But it's the process of getting to that point where you're going to do it. But
I find it really therapeutic. I don't know why.
Yeah. So I've got a lounge around here that needs painting. So, don't be shy. Come on over. I'll provide the gin.
Okay, I'll keep that in mind.
That's all you need, isn't it? That's what you need when you're doing your paint.
I know.
I did have a friend come round on Saturday to help me because I've done most of it in the lounge.
Oh,
and
good.
She came round and I enticed her with a pizza and some beer. So,
oh, lovely.
It's always a good incentive to have
absolutely
alcohol.
Yes. Or something nice to drink.
Yes. Yeah. How about you, Tony? Did you go to Lunch Positive last week?
I went to Lunch Positive last week and it was amazing. It was really full. It's a bit different because they're not having the trestle tables. So you're literally sitting. I think they had a couple of tables of four upstairs, but everything else was like tables of two, which was great. Gary was buzzing around as ever. He was really busy. But obviously he's still doing the meals on a Friday he's now doing Eastbourne. He's doing West Sussex and East Sussex, just delivering the meals out. Well, I'm doing the ones in West Sussex, but he's busy. It's busy. And it was nice. It was just nice to get back there, and it's a nice space, and everyone was really happy to be back there. So it's good.
And connecting again, isn't it? In a social kind of social.
Just out of interest, Tony, how many lunches do you reckon they managed to serve on the first day of opening from such a
one? There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Probably 9 tables of two on the main floor.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know how many people there were above them, but I mean, it was full. He said it was full. So, it's good. Gary and his team are amazing at Lunch Positive. They really are. Really good.
Well, Gary's coming on in a couple of weeks, isn't he? He's going to do an interview, aren't you? Yeah, so that's
that's
it. So, what's on the show, guys, this week?
Well, we've got your part two interview with Steve, haven't we?
Yeah, he's got the listeners heard last week the first part of the story. Mm-hmm. But it's really nice just hearing his someone else's story and how they coped and the things they have in place, just to live day to day. So it's a real good story.
And also some of the amazing work that he does as well, which is quite
100%. Yeah, 100%. I think he's like now the CAB person for, is it 3 CAB offices in Manchester? So he does a lot. He does a lot in the Northwest. Yeah.
That'd be good.
He's a nice guy.
And he's from Rottenstall, which is close to where I'm from, actually.
Really pronounced it wrongly, didn't I?
I know.
It's quite Rottenstall. It's like that.
It's quite a complicated word. It's like Oswald Twistle. That's quite hard to say.
As I said to him, I come from Essex, so as long as it's got two syllables in, I'm okay. But
anyway, what else is on the show this year?
We've also got and I was nearly going to say national, and it isn't. It's testing week, SDI testing week. And we've got some up-to-date stats that may shock a few of us, to say the least. So we've got a press release from the CO of the Thames Higgins Trust, and that's really interesting. So we've got a recorded piece on that. And we've got a new women's initiative just started, and that's from the Sophie Forum. That's really interesting. And we have, got our Q&A, haven't we? We've had some.
Yes.
Awesome. We've had some people emailing in, so that's great news. Yes, so we're going to be reading out some of their questions and collaboratively trying to answer them. So that'll be interesting, won't it?
Yeah, I look forward to that.
97.2 FM. Radio Reverb.
So, what's up next then? We're playing the interview, Tony.
Second part of the interview with Steve Hughes. Yeah, it's really good. It's just a really good. It's a really good story of how, you know, support and what he now does in the community. So, yeah, it's the first part was great. Just hold on to your pockets for the second one, really.
All right.
Yeah, it's gonna be good.
Oh, let's have a listen.
Yeah, okay.
HIVR is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.
So, hey, I'm Tony, obviously, and I'm speaking to Steve Hughes.
Medical advancements have come on so much.
Totally.
That's the,
yeah.
I think. Yeah,
totally. I remember when I was growing up also, there was a film called, Philadelphia? With Antonio Banderas and what's his name? He was in The Green Mile. I can't remember his name. Anyway, it's a film called Philadelphia, and it's about a guy that's a really big, I think he's a lawyer, and he goes to a gym where all the old, you know, cronies from the boardroom are in, smoking cigars and things, making really homophobic jokes, and they notice he's got a mark on his back. Didn't think anything of it. Went to the thing and they found out it was HIV, and it was all the court case.
Yes, I do remember it. Yes.
Yeah. And I went to the cinema to watch that, and I just a bit like Evita with Madonna. I just I was a mess by the time I came out of the theatre, and I think also, you know, Tom Hanks, that's it. Yeah, Tom Hanks, Antonio Banderas. Amazing movie. I think people that get diagnosed, you know, later into the 2000s and 2010 and whatever, they kind of, I mean, I don't forget what the advancements are, but like you go back to that was what, early 90s maybe, and that was the perception of how it was, and in America that's really how it was. So,
Pose, for those that have watched Pose recently, I think just tries to articulate the similar sort of picture. I am very lucky to have been diagnosed with HIV now in the sort of 2000s.
Sure.
2000. I do genuinely feel for people that had to go through this in the 80s, because God, it was just awful. It must have been awful.
Things like AZT, all the all the medication in the 80s were literally just, I think they were just maintenance programs, and it was only probably the late 80s, 90s where they were really getting in advance with the combination therapies. And I think to be diagnosed now rather than 20 years ago or 20, 30 years ago, yes, it's a lot better now. I mean, but
I run a support group here in Sussex called the Worthing Hub, and we've got people there that have been diagnosed 35 years, 38 years.
Yeah.
And I talk to them all. I mean, I talk to them nearly enough every day, and you know, they say, I said, how are you feeling? You feeling good? And they're like, yeah, feeling great. Some of them have been on the same meds for 10 years. I've just had mine changed about 2 years ago, only because the drug company wasn't going to make it anymore, so they changed me over. I haven't, I don't have any side effects with mine. It gives me a dry mouth once in a while, but that's it. So the meds now are so advanced. So advanced. So,
yeah.
I was reading on your story online, and it said it took you 3 years to tell your mum. Was that because you? Sorry if it's too personal, but it's just
No, it's fine.
Is that like just like the like you said, the second coming out? Is that sort of just? You know, you didn't want to upset her, hurt her, want to think her son was going to die. Of those.
I think that was absolutely part of it. Yeah. So I think in my sort of blog thing, but I did try and tell her quite soon after.
Okay.
Was going to go for dinner and it was sort of after it was sort of 2017, sort of New Year, Christmas had passed, and I felt like it was the right thing to do. And I went to dinner, and we got drunk, and I was going to tell her. And then I sort of concluded actually that I wasn't ready. I just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Sort of tell her, and remember this sort of surreal moment where I was watching, sort of just having a bit of a laugh, and I was watching her laugh, and I suddenly just said, I can't do this now because I know what she's going to do. And I can't put her through it, and I think she knew that I wanted to tell her something because mums have that really annoying thing, don't they, where they that sort of stuff.
What is it? How much do you want? What do you need off me?
And it wasn't anything unusual. I'd taken her out for something that wasn't unusual for me, but I think she knew there was something going on.
Yeah.
I just don't think she sort of realised. I guarantee she didn't know what he actually was. And then, it stayed a secret for nearly 3 years. And it was only in 2019 that I sort of told her. I think I told a couple of people. I told a very close group of friends before that. Because, I wanted them to know. And I think I was getting to the point where it was becoming such a daily occurrence. It was just sort of, I'd become confident enough to talk about it openly, that I'd started to talk about it openly, but I was then very conscious that I hadn't told my mum. And that the worst thing that could have happened was that my mum found out, not by me.
100%.
And at that point, I was just like, I've got to tell her. And interestingly, I completely so at work I have a comms team and they do a lot of comms in of messages and stuff like that.
Sure.
And in my mind I was just like, I need to go through what the comms process is for this because I need to just make sure I cover off all elements and make sure I say these sorts of really key things to make sure it's comfortable. And all that happened was she was around at the flat one day and I just said, I just need to tell you something. Come up here and we sat down on the bed and I said, I need to tell you this, you're not going to say anything, you're not going to interrupt me, and you need to promise me that you're not going to worry about it when I tell you.
Okay.
And she was like, okay, fine. And I just said, I've got HIV, and she said, okay. And I saw the face sort of start to go, and I just said, what you need to understand, Mum, is that, and I don't want you to be annoyed at this, but I've had it for a while, and I've had it since sort of like late 2016.
Okay.
And I want you to answer me this question. I said, what? Since 2016, have you seen any deterioration in my health? She said, no. I said, have I been fine? And she said, yes. Do I look fine? And she said, yes. And I said, there's your answer then.
Perfect.
That's what you need to, that's what you need to think about. Yeah. I said, I've been living this for the last three-ish years, and you've absolutely seen no change. So, because I know what she was going back to, she was going back to those ads, that grave to, that's totally. Tombstone, sort of the 80s, thinking, oh my God, this is a death sentence. And I had to immediately deal with that.
Yeah, quash her, not inquisitive mind, but like querying mind. You know, mums have that thing where they're like, yeah, but are you really? Like, are you really? And it's like, I mean, I don't mean to say about being positive, but, you know, are you really going to be okay? Is everything really okay? Yeah. And it's like, mum, I'll be fine. It's, you know, it is what it is.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally, yeah, totally. And interestingly, I've been with my current partner for a decent period of time.
Cool.
For three.
Hey, that's good. Really, that's really good.
3 years, 3.5 years. And she was like, does he know? I was like, yes, of course he knows. And he's absolutely cool with it. And she was like, oh, that's good. And I was like, and I know what she was also thinking there. She was thinking, oh God, how's he going to ever get a relationship? Because he's got HIV and stuff like that. So I think it was a really interesting reaction. And she's genuinely been really fine with it. And it's not a problem at all. And that's what I said.
So cool.
Absolutely non-issue. And she's been fine about it. Funnily enough, and then immediately sort of after that, World AIDS Day.
Yeah.
As a counsellor, I sort of did a video to sort of talk about it, and equally there then didn't hide my status away and was quite open about it, and that was the first sort of opportunity to. That was the first sort of me talking properly publicly about it, was this video that went out on the council website talking about sort of celebrating World AIDS Day. And it sort of started up from there, really.
I think what this also shows, Steve, is the fact that, you know, you were really successful beforehand. This has happened, and you've continued the launch of success, and your career still has, even through this, sustained positive traction. Do you know what I mean? It hasn't stopped you in any way. You've still got that drive for life. You've still got that drive to have a partner. Yes, you take your meds every day, but that's, you know, you've still got that zest for life, that joie de vivre, haven't you? You've got that life force in you. And so, you know, some people, that gets taken out of them, you know, when they find out they're positive and stuff, it really takes it out of them. And it's sometimes... Go on.
No, I think you're totally right. You're absolutely right in saying that actually, if anything, it's made me a bit more driven.
Yeah.
To make sure that it doesn't. I actively sort of try and make sure that it doesn't get in the way in a weird way.
Yeah, 1,000%.
Not because I do anything because I've got it or anything like that. It's more to be able to say, you know what, this has had absolutely no impact on my life whatsoever.
Yeah. And also,
and if anything, it's made me a bit more educated.
Absolutely. I think education is one of these things for HIV and sexual health generally that isn't really focused on within. I don't think it's really focused on that much at schools. And
oh, absolutely not.
I think Sue, one of the other presenters of the HIV Hour, she does a thing called Positive Voices. And what that does is we used to go into schools and talk about HIV and talk about sexual health and stuff in schools with classes, with real kids, and which did have some funny questions, but it's fine. But Sue's now running that by Zoom. But I think it shows the fact that, you know, you've come through this. You're a successful counsellor. You've had you've still got an amazing career. You're still like climb of the stars, do you know what I mean? And it's like, it's great. It's a success story when it could not have been. Do you know what I mean? And it just shows your tenacity and your fight and, you know, the fact that you really wanted this. And it shows the fact that someone that is positive is in a position where, you know, you have the time to educate, you have the time to tell people about yourself. And I think it's that really makes a difference for our community as a whole. I know Brighton down here is very HIV, and it's not very HIV, but down in Brighton, it's very sex positive. It's very, as in everyone, you know, goes to the clinic, everyone does this. If, you know, if they're positive, it's, you know, in Brighton, it's not an issue. But I think in the different areas of the UK, I think that has a different aspect on it. And I think the fact that you, I mean, I know I've got some really great friends that live in Burnley and Colne, so up in Lancashire. So,
Are they next door to me?
I don't know. I'll ask them. But, you know, I've been to Funny Girls so many times and been, really rolling drunk. So, but I think having an ally in a part of the country where, you know, there aren't as many positive people as there are down in Sussex, I think that is just amazing. Yeah, you've got Manchester, which is right near you. But I think where you are, you know, your town is, I think it's only, pardon the pun, it's just a positive thing, isn't it? I think it's going to be positive for everybody.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think that's one of the reasons why I've sort of, I've committed to try and talk about it more.
Yeah.
And I'm really, really pleased that I've managed to get on the programme for Positive Voices. I think it's a fab thing to do. And I think the more we talk about it, the more we can educate. Because I do think you're right. I think Absolutely. This all sits around education, and there is not enough education in schools for just general sexual health, and also than even specific stuff around HIV. I don't even remember HIV being mentioned in school, let alone sexual health. And we had this really awkward thing at school where you had to learn to put a condom on, and that was about it, really. That was a total sum of sex health education, really. And I think I do think you're absolutely right. I think in places, in more rural areas, I think it becomes a bit more of a challenge. If you're born in Manchester and you grow up in Manchester, or even in one of the cities, any city, I think there's a lot more of tolerance towards gay, trans, LGBTQ community. But I think genuinely, in places like Burnley, I do remember going out in Burnley. Burnley used to be a regular place for me to go out. And I do remember being quite intimidated sometimes by a couple of people that would suddenly think you're gay and you might end up with a black eye if you're not careful.
Yeah. The Zebras Club in Burnley. Zebras?
You what, sorry?
Was it Zebras Club in Burnley? Or was that Colne?
No.
I think it was in Colne.
I think it was Funny Girls, actually. One said that it was in Burnley. It was a gay club, but I can't remember the name of it.
Okay.
But it wasn't, I don't want to say it wasn't gay friendly, but I think you have to be careful who you were talking to about it.
Sure.
I think that was a challenge. I think that's why, coming back to why I sort of want to talk about it more, I think that's the point. It's about opening people's minds a bit.
Yeah.
Just be more a bit tolerable, and even within our community, even within the LGBT community, I think we need to. There needs to be a bit more openness about sexual health more generally, but HIV.
Oh, totally, 100%.
Some of the worst comments I've had are on Grindr. And people sort of being very, very horrible about being dirty. That question, "Are you clean?" drives me up the wall.
It's like,
I had a shower yesterday, thanks.
I had a shower last week. Is that all right? Do you know what I mean?
It's right. Just vile. It's awful. Yeah. What does it even mean? It's just. But I mean, and we do it. We just so, it just rolls off the tongue.
Totally, 100%. I think also,
that's the challenge.
I think also when you go on things like Grindr or Plenty of Fish or things like that, like I'm not on Grindr, I'm a bit too old for that, but I'm on Silver. Yeah, I'm on silvergrandpas.com or something like that. I don't know. No, I'm not. But
sign up to that.
Yes. SantaClaus.com. No, but when you, I think when you go on these, and these things, you know, when you, I think some of these people are, give this stigma for people that are positive because maybe they're scared, maybe they're frightened of going to getting the test and finding out for themselves. I think sometimes there's so much stigma on these apps. I think there is, you know, some, as I said, sometimes I think that can be a big front because they might be scared they're positive or they can't go out and, or they might be in a, you know, a trapped relationship where they have to go on Grindr to do stuff, and you know, there's all sorts of there's all sorts of situations. But I think, yeah, definitely, I think there are some pretty shocking people and shocking ways people convey saying no, thank you, if you're positive. And I think that says more about them than it does about us as a community.
Agreed. Yeah, yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And I think in the main we're all right. But I think there are, yeah, unfortunately there are a couple of people that don't want to, because you know, I've tried to go through life and I haven't, I'm saying that as a 28-year-old.
Ah, stop.
29-year-old. Cool. But I've tried to go through life being quite open-minded.
Yeah.
And you know what? If I don't agree with something, why don't I agree with it? And to understand why you don't agree with it, you've actually got to know what you're talking about, or 100%. You've got to know a bit about the subject.
Yeah.
And I think so many people are just like, HIV, absolute no-no. He's positive, absolute no-no.
Yeah.
And they're using a bit of knowledge that they've gained or stuff they've seen on TV or whatever it is to make that judgment.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm just like, if you are going to make that judgment, that's absolutely fine.
But be educated.
Okay, do it. Yeah, but just be a bit open about maybe some of the realities of it.
Yeah.
U equals U and all that sort of stuff.
And also, if you think about it, we're looking after our sexual health. We are actually,
absolutely,
we go every 6 months. Well, I go every year now, but we go every 6 months. Yeah, yeah. We go and get our bloods done. We go and get an MOT. You know, how many... I don't mean to be, you know, down on anyone that goes on Grindr or anything, but you know, how many of these people...
When was the last time they went?
Well, exactly. This is all about, you know, you've got to be educated so you can be in front of the potential, I don't know, problems they could crop up. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, no, totally. Yeah.
I know my status.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm not...
Do they know theirs?
Absolutely. I think sometimes, like I said, I think sometimes these people are scared because, you know, you're very confident about your status. I am too. You know, I have no problem in... My friends and my family know, and it is what it is.
Yeah.
I think sometimes these people... Maybe, you know, these people that... I don't want to say the alpha racist word, but... You know, the people that are racist, but then they're actually scared of, because they don't actually know anything about it and they're uneducated.
Yeah.
God, that's really controversial. Sorry. Ooh, don't want to get into the Trump. Conversation, right. But let's not do that on this radio show. Hey. thankfully, this will be edited. Thanks, Josh. But no, I think. You know, I'm so thankful that we've had this chat. I'm really thankful that you are so, like, positive. Well, literally, I don't mean to pun again, but you're just positive about it. It's not something that's been a negative in your life. It's not negatively affected you. And I think with more people that show the general public that, you know, this is, yeah, it's not a great thing to have, but it's, you know, the meds are good now. Your life expectancy are good, you've got to look after your health, you've got to look after your sexual health, and that's it. And I think it's so nice to speak to someone like you.
That's the point,
isn't
it?
Yeah.
That's the point in it, because actually, I mean, I remember having, I remember when I first went abroad, and someone got in contact and just said, one of the sort of interesting responses I got was, you love talking about yourself, don't you? And I'm just like, you know what, this isn't about me at all. What this is about is me sharing my story, because I know for a fact,
that's going to help someone.
Friends, that there is someone out there that isn't as confident as me and is properly struggling. It's affecting their life, it's affecting their mental health, it's affecting their job, it's affecting their friendships.
Yeah.
And it absolutely doesn't need to. And that's 100%. What it's about.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, totally. And I think, you know, by that, someone saying that, you know, you talk about yourself a lot, well, that's the idea of, you know, telling your story. You know, you've got to, you know, more people, I think more people should be like yourself, or, you know, like us on the HIV Hour. Like, it's sometimes it's hard to actually blurt out those words, like you, when you say your second coming out and stuff, it's hard to say those words, but once they're out there and people know, and they know to treat you with respect, honesty, and with the love you deserve, I think sometimes that's how you get through these things. But it's nice to, it's just nice to speak to someone else and getting their take on, you know this quite polarized event in your life, and I'm really thankful of that you shared it with me. It's amazing, and your mum is a legend, clearly. She's a legend. Some old queen from Sussex thinks you're a legend.
I will do. She'll probably actually think the queen.
This old queen.
And genuinely, thank you for having me as well, actually. Cause
absolutely. When Sue mentioned it, I was like, yes, let's get him on.
If you've just tuned in, this is the HIV Hour on 97.2 FM in the Brighton area and .com online. So we've got the HIV Q&A. We've had some emails, guys.
I know, it's really good. Wow. Really good.
Yeah. I'm just thinking, play the introduction, just if anyone doesn't know we're doing like a Q&A, and then perhaps we'll go through some of the emails. What do you reckon?
Sounds good.
Yeah. Let's have a listen.
Hey there. I'm the new Agony person for the HIV Hour at Radio Reverb. You've got questions about sex? Sex and relationships, sex, relationships and HIV, or just wellness, or just good stuff. You've got questions, we've got answers. Just email us at hivhour@gmail.com. Take care, bye.
So one of the questions is, it's not necessarily for us to answer, but which is really nice, and thank you very much, Gareth. We've had a comment from Gareth. He's emailed us, and now a few weeks ago, guys, you remembered we had a fantastic interview which was recorded a couple of years ago from a lovely lady called Rebecca.
Yes.
Rebecca's story, and how poignant Rebecca's story was. She was a trans woman, been diagnosed with HIV for 30 years, and her life story in the book she's written. He was really empowered by Rebecca's story and just wanted to say, first of all, thank you to Rebecca. And secondly, thank you to the HIVR for giving the opportunity of Rebecca sharing a story. So thank you very much, Gareth.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's nice. Amazing. Yeah, it's nice, isn't it, and Tony? Because it's just getting that validation, isn't it? When people go through stories like that and they have a journey and talk openly like that, I think it's amazing.
It also, I think some of the people that listen to the show, they might take something else away from it. And, you know, there are so many people going through the spectrum now and who are trans, who are transitioning. And I just think it's good that the information's out there and the interview is great.
Yeah.
I actually got a bit teary now when I was listening to it. It kind of was so heartfelt, wasn't it? And amazing journey. And totally. I can understand why people were touched by it and got some good from it. Thanks, Gareth, for that.
Oh, we had one from Colin that was asking. He wants us to. He wasn't sure about the U equals U, because obviously that's a lot in the anti-stigma campaign at the moment with Gareth Thomas. And he just wanted us to sort of...
clarify?
Clarify and how our opinion on this. I mean, for me, U equals undetectable means untransmittable. Now, that means HIV only, and it, obviously you've got to protect yourself against everything else that's out there, but you know, there's still, you've still, even if it's U equals U, you've still got to have a safe sex. That's how I think of it.
Yeah, yeah.
What about you guys?
Yeah, what do you think, Josh?
Same thing actually, what Tony said. It means undetectable, you can't pass it on, but as you say, you have to be careful about other. Yeah. Other
infections,
and so it's being mindful of those as well.
Yeah, and to be honest, it's a game changer. U equals U, undetectable, untransmittable, and it's right for people to question that if they're not sure, because it's such an important message. So we will clarify that on multiple occasions if asked to. And, you know, the more people know about U equals U, you know, we're hopefully going to attempt to break down some of the stigma. So thanks ever so much for Colin for asking us to reiterate that message, because it is a phenomenal, you know, game-changing message that has come out, and we want everyone to understand what equal you means.
I think also it's a case of the fact that you're actually taking responsibility for your own sexual health. And by the U equals U campaign and the anti-stigma, you're actually saying, actually, I care about myself, but I care about you as well, your partner or whoever you're having sex with. And I think it's really powerful that, you know, some people go around doing whatever they do, it's up to them. But I think it's also the U equals U campaign is quite, it shows that we aren't just caring about our health, our safety and our health. We're caring about our partners as well. And I think that's a really strong message.
Great.
And it gets the message across as well, doesn't it? And it keeps on getting, it's like, sometimes you have to keep saying it and keep getting the message across, and it goes in, people do listen, and it goes in, doesn't it?
Yeah. So I'm just thinking, Tony, just to obviously, if perhaps listeners are tuning in for the first time, saying, oh, what's this HIV Q&A? Just reiterate how, you know, the listeners can get involved, ask us questions. What's the contact details?
You can tweet us at the HIV _hour at Twitter, or the HIV hour at gmail.com. And me and the team, Josh and Sue, will look forward to having your questions and giving you our answers from our own advice and our own life experience.
Yes, absolutely.
Great.
Look forward to hearing them.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is the world of Radio Reverb.
I don't know whether you're aware, but National HIV Testing has been postponed. Okay.
Is it twice a month? Twice a year normally?
No, it's only once a year. Testing week is once a year. Right. And it's normally sort of a few weeks before World AIDS Day in November. That's normally the time frame. And it's usually a massive campaign throughout the country, not just for local charities. It's a massive campaign to get everyone testing, retesting, and encouraging people to test for HIV. You'll find the listeners and yourselves will find this report quite interesting.
Yeah, shall we have a listen?
As we launch into SDI Testing Week, we have some new data from Public Health England, and that shows a 5% rise in England in 2019, including 26% rise in gonorrhea, with the rates of gonorrhea now at the highest on record.
In summary, the stats are pretty terrible. A statement from Ian Green, the chief executive from the Terence Higgins Trust, is making it clear that this is totally unacceptable and calling for urgent action following government's promise of a national sexual health strategy, and saying COVID isn't an excuse. And if we look at some of the stats, 468,342 were diagnosed of STIs. That's a 5% increase from 2018. Also a 26% increase in gonorrhea, a 10% increase in syphilis. Also a 7% increase in numbers of consultations at sexual health services. Also, a 13% decline in chlamydia testing of young people since 2015. Now, this data is for 2019 and so doesn't account for the COVID-19 pandemic impact or of lockdown or social distancing. A pandemic is not a sustainable solution for tackling soaring rates of STIs. Now, STI testing week starts from today until the 14th of September, and it's an absolute opportunity to get you, if you haven't had a sexual health checkup for a while. I know we've been in lockdown and services have been suppressed, but things are now opening, especially in Brighton. You know, go on the website for your local sexual health services. You can even get an STI kit sent to you. I know I have had that done myself. So get on their website. This is an opportunity. Looking at these statistics, they're just quite astonishing. So if you haven't had a checkup for a while, and, you know, let's look at some of these STIs. You know, these are all treatable. Now, there is one big one. We've got HIV. That's not, that's manageable and treated, but there's no cure for HIV. So if you haven't had a HIV test for a while, another great opportunity. Go and get yourself a full sexual checkup. And hey, if you've just met a new partner, or if you've just started dating, or you've just started to having sexual relationships with people, this is the time to start off in an autumn fresh and get yourself all checked out so you feel good, you feel secure, and you'll get an idea of what you're living with. Hopefully that won't be nothing, because you're going to be getting yourself checked out regular. So as I say, sexual health is important to all of us. City of Brighton, we've got phenomenal service in Brighton. You can look on National Health Service website with all your services in Brighton. There's so many fantastic ones, and in West Sussex and East Sussex. So STI testing week starts from today.
It's not necessarily a report, it's a new initiative that has just been released from a charity called the Sophie Forum. I took part in a campaign a couple of years ago, and it was to do with women, and it was the campaign was called Invisible No Longer, and I'm very proud and privileged to taken part in that. It was a massive campaign. It was the Sophie Forum and the Terence Higgins Trust. And in what came out of the first report, the findings found that women were being excluded, HIV positive women were being excluded from research trials, you know, and all that sort of thing, and prep and all those sort of things. Things are changing, but, you know, now we've got the new things with women living older with HIV, going through the menopause. So there needs to be more research into that. Yeah. So this new campaign by the Sophie Forum, amazing, another amazing initiative. It just wants to remind us that, and the campaign is called We're Still Here, We Ain't Gone Away, which quite rightly so.
Yeah.
So thank you for joining us on the HIV Hour. You can contact us on hivhour@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram, HIV_hour. You can also listen and subscribe to our podcast, the HIV Hour podcast, just go to Spotify, iTunes or Deezer and type in HIV Hour and you can listen to past shows. Radio Reverb.